Doesn't adieu mean goodbye? Right? Adieu means goodbye, right? So without further ado, what's that about? Without saying goodbye anymore or something like that? I don't know. All right. Welcome, everybody. Glad you could make it. I'm excited about this topic. Like Zane mentioned, I just published a book on this topic. And I wouldn't normally advertise my stuff. That's kind of gauche. But, you know, it showed up 2 days ago at my house. I'm sort of excited about that. So, True, Right, Better, A Defense of the Christian Worldview. And I don't know the first name of the author, but his last name is Oaks. All right, great. So, the topic tonight, this is not a Bible lesson. This is more of a philosophy lesson. I'm not going to even refer to Scripture all that often. In fact, I'm going to be talking about the Christian worldview, and I'm going to imagine if we were to describe the Christian worldview literally without using the Bible, just what is the Christian worldview, and we'll talk about that compared to other worldviews. That's kind of what's going on. And to me, as far as on campus, the chief rivals, if you will, to the Christian worldview, there you go, Pontius Pilate. Jesus said, I came to testify to the truth, right? And then Pontius Pilate asked, well, what is truth? Maybe he was a future postmodernist. I don't know. The principal opponents of the Christian worldview in the campus scene here at UC Merced, Merced College, and Fresno State, etc., Fresno College, or what's the Fresno City College, is naturalism, atheism, materialism, and postmodernism. So I'm going to talk about those two worldviews first. Then I'm going to talk about the Christian worldview, and then I'll talk about other worldviews as well. So what is a worldview? Well, in my book, I give a couple of definitions. It's the perspective one uses to process and interpret information received about the world. Now, we all think that we're just open-minded and we're just like a sponge and information in, conclusion out. It does not work that way. All of us receive information and it goes through filters that determines the meaning of that information. And that filter, in essence, is your worldview. Everybody has a worldview. Some people don't know what it is. That's not good, actually. It's better to know what you assume than to just blithely go through life just assuming things and not even realizing you're assuming that. Everybody has a worldview. James Sire, my favorite author on the subject of worldview, says, a worldview is a set of presuppositions which we hold about the basic makeup of our world. In other words, what is reality? Okay? So, a number of worldviews are dominant. Naturalism. Arguably, atheism is a worldview, but really atheism is more like a single idea, which is sort of under the broader, you know, thing of naturalism or materialism. By the way, in philosophy, materialism is not greediness, okay? I'll define what materialism or naturalism is. Postmodernism. That's the worldviewless worldview. Postmodernists might have a worldview, but they say there's none that's right. They're all wrong, and they're, you know, I'll talk about that. Deism, pantheism. Pantheism is a very large proportion of the population of the world are pantheists. Most Eastern religion is pantheistic. Animism, polytheism, there's still that around. Dualism. Biblical theism, and by the way, I'll also talk about Islamic theism tonight, okay? So, here's the thesis of my book. So, bear with me as I describe the thesis of my book. I say, a good worldview has three qualities. And you don't have to agree with this, but that's how I approach thinking about worldview, okay? Number one, it should be true. Wouldn't it be better to have your basic assumptions about the world be true than to have them be not true? All right, it's better to be right than wrong, and not morally right and morally wrong in this case, but have the correct view of the world. And so I'm going to discuss the Christian worldview, and if the Christian worldview is correct, then, by the way, not necessarily everything on this list, but almost everything on this list is just plain not true. All right? Number two, it successfully answers the important questions humans want an answer to. Questions like, what am I? What am I? What happens when we die? All right. What is my purpose? What is my value? What is the right thing to do? All right. These are the basic questions that I don't care what worldview you have. You're looking for answers to these questions, except nihilists. But that's a whole other story. We'll have Q&A at the end. We can talk about that. All right. So we're going to look at pantheism or naturalism or postmodernism and ask, do they give satisfactory answers consistent with reality that make sense, that satisfy our sense of how things are or should be to these kinds of questions? And then the third question might sound like a really weird question, like, what are you talking about? And the third question is, would those who ascribe to it, in other words, who actually live according to this, come on in? Yes? No? Scared away? All right. Somebody want to go out there real quick and find out? Are they in the right place? All right. Those who live consistently with this worldview, and that's important with this third question, can we reasonably assume that would make them a better person than they otherwise would have been if they were living according to a different worldview? Now, the natural response to that of most people would be like, well, that's all subjective. What's it mean to be a better person? But I would claim if you put an atheist, a deist, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Christian, just put them all in a room and say, look, come up with a list of 6 or 7 qualities that you say would make for a good person. I think that would not be a hard assignment at all. In fact, if they sat down individually, they'd come up with lists that are probably pretty similar to each other. All right, so we're going to ask, if one accepts postmodernism as their worldview, would that logically line up with what we could consider a good person? Things like loving, patient, kind, loyal, these kinds of things. Got it? All right, so we're going to first talk about materialism, scientific materialism, sometimes called determinism. Or naturalism. It's the belief that the only reliable or valid instrument for deciding what is true, or even the value of any proposition, is the scientific method. Only observe, according to this worldview, only observable, measurable things are real. Everything that is not measurable and observable is literally not even real. Okay? So atheists are in this worldview. I'm not calling it atheism because we could argue whether atheism is even a worldview, but whatever. All right, a couple other statements. Here's Richard Lewontin, a famous naturalist, determinist. He said, we exist as material beings in a material world, all of whose phenomena are the consequences of material relations amongst material entities. Got it? He says, in a word, the public needs to accept materialism, which means they must put God in the trash can of history where such myths belong. Plenty of seats. Might have to sit at the front. Nobody likes to sit at the front, but, you know. All right, we've got seats over here, et cetera. Got it? All right. Another statement about materialism or naturalism. Life is explained in purely mechanical terms. Phenomena such as mind and consciousness are considered nothing but epiphenomena. In other words, when you say I, that's a meaningless word. Okay, because I is just chemicals and nerves and stuff like that. All right, and when you say want, what's that mean? That means neurotransmitters. Okay, got it? So all these things that we consider, most of us consider essential to what a person is, are mere epiphenomena. Human consciousness itself is just it's a complex thing that appears to exist but doesn't even actually exist. That's scientific materialism. All right, so I'm going to ask simply, is it true? Does it provide satisfactory answers to the questions we care about? And would it make a person good? Pretty basic thing. Got it? So I'm going to claim, before I even go through these claims, that it is essentially amounts to a religious belief based on circular reasoning. In other words, if you try to get a materialist to explain why they believe in their materialism, you're going to find out the reason they believe in it is because they believe in it. In other words, they have no evidence to support this conclusion. Okay? Number two, I'm going to claim that on question number two, does it provide answers satisfactory answers to the questions we care about? The answer is, it's terrible at that. In fact, of all the worldviews, it's the worst in that one. And as a worldview, does it tend to make its followers better? No, I would say atheism. By the way, I've known a number of atheists, and most of the atheists I've known were really nice people. I'm not kidding. Not all of them. And in fact, the atheists I've known pay more attention to behaving ethically than a lot of Christians. Just being real. But I'm going to claim that what they're really doing is hijacking the Christian worldview and inserting it into their atheism. So I'm very suspicious of a world that is governed or dominated by this worldview. Okay? So let me talk about those three things. All right, I was watching a BBC broadcast not too long ago. I don't watch a lot of BBC. Actually, I was listening. I think I was listening. Whatever, doesn't matter. So what it was kind of like a panel discussion. And what they would do is they bring in two people of opposing views, and this panel of journalists and scholars would ask them questions. It wasn't a debate. It was a staged question thing. So the naturalist comes in, and he's like, you know, like, man, this guy, I gotta really clean up on this, whatever he was, a Christian or whatever. Obviously, he's a chemist. And so the first question was, they asked him to give his basic thesis. And he said, the only things that are real are physical things. Anything which cannot be observed or measured is not real. Great. And then the first person asked him, well, how do you know that? It's sort of obvious question. He said, oh, man, those Christians and those Muslims and everything there, you know, all the evil in the world is done by them. And, man, these fundamentalists, blah, blah. And they interrupted him and they said, sir, we asked you a question. You know, we asked the questions. You give the answers. You said the only things that are real are things that can be measured and observed. And we asked you, how do you know that? Oh, yeah, those religious people, blah, 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 blah. And he went on. And then they interrupted him a second time. They said, sir, the way this works is we ask the questions, you answer them. If you're not going to answer our question, we'll ask you to leave. We'll bring in the next person. And I remember what he said. He said, I guess because I just believe it. I mean, this guy's entire worldview was based on circular reasoning. And he wasn't self-aware about that. But I'm telling you, atheists and naturalists, the reason they believe in what they believe tends to come down to this. That's just what I believe. Well, I don't know. I think we could do a better job of analyzing our beliefs to whether they're true than that. What just happened? That's really weird. Oh, now it's... whoa. I have no idea what's going on. That is bizarre. Okay. Let's just try to start it again and see what happens. Oh, it's got a speaker thing. What's that about?
Maybe added an audio recording.
I never did. I guarantee you I never did. I've never added an audio thing to anything in my life. But you know what? So what? All right. Oh, sorry if I scared you. All right. Now, I'm going to claim that it is simply not true. It is wrong. It is demonstrably a false assumption. Okay, let me give you a few reasons why I believe it's wrong. First of all, because I exist. Right? I am a person. And if materialism is correct, then personhood is actually not a real thing. Okay? Because if the materialist is right, then all, in quotes, I am is nerve signals bouncing around in this complicated thing called the brain and neurochemicals being released. And when I say I think this, I'm fooling myself because, first of all, I don't exist and, you know, et cetera. All right? If this is true, then love is also doesn't exist. All right? Because all love is chemicals swimming around in your brain. And if it exists at all, it's just chemical release, which means it doesn't exist at all. All right? There's a few reasons why I know this worldview is wrong. Number one, because the universe was created. And the evidence is beyond dispute. I mean, the universe was created. There was a time when it did not exist, and then it does. Now, you could debate the Big Bang model and all that sort of stuff, but either way, the only thing that the evidence allows for is a creation event. And so the simple question to the materialist is, why does anything exist at all? And guess what their answer is? They don't have an answer. There is no answer. Well, that's not a very good explanation of things. Also, life was created. And that's as close to a scientific fact as any that there is. And we could talk about the fine-tuned universe and the anthropic principle. The bottom line is science demands creation, a creator, a non-physical entity, which is the cause of everything physical. And therefore, scientific materialism is just whatever you think about it, you like it, you don't like it, whatever. Either way, it's not true. All right? Remember, we're going through we got our list of three things, right? Is it true? Does it give satisfactory answers? And does it make a better person? Okay, so I teach philosophy, science. Actually, I don't anymore. I retired. Gee, I wish I was teaching, but then I'm teaching right now. But I'm just not teaching, not teaching chemistry and physics. Wow, somebody got a haircut. Wow, it's looking sharp, man, looking sharp. All right, so I tell them, because I do a section on science and religion. And I tell them science is the best human-devised means to answer a certain set of questions. Science is awesome at answering questions like, when did that happen? If you want to use the Bible to find out when something happened, it's I don't know about that. You know, maybe not. It's not really intended to do that. Okay, what is that thing? Where is it? How big is it? How many are there? What is the immediate cause of this observable thing? Here's the problem with those questions. Nobody cares about those questions. Do you really care how many? Does that really matter to you? Here's the list of questions we care about. And science, forgive me for using that word, science sucks at this one. I mean, it almost literally sucks, as in like a vacuum cleaner. It is completely useless to answer any of the questions we care about. Why am I here? Well, science says it's just a random accident. Just chemical bumped, compound bumped into compound and, the rain and lightning and just random. Okay, is that the right thing to do? Science is completely, utterly useless in answering the question whether it's right to murder or not. Science can maybe talk about ethical things, but it can't talk about morality. In fact, if materialism is right, then morality literally isn't even real. How valuable are you? Right? How valuable are you, Alex? About $3.40. Some calcium, some nitrogen, some iron, some phosphorus. You know?
Wow.
Does God exist? Science can indirectly help us think about that, but materialism denies the existence of God just outright. All right? We can just go down the list of the questions we really care about. Science leaves us completely, utterly empty of meaning, purpose, value, and moral ideas. All right? So on point number two, in the trash. By the way, I shouldn't say science. I should say scientism or materialism. Science is neutral on these things. We just need a worldview that actually works. Science can sort of be a tool within that worldview. All right, so can we reasonably assume that if somebody takes this materialistic approach, this deterministic, naturalistic approach, that that would make a good person? Well, again, it depends on your definition of good, but I think we kind of know what we're talking about. Patient, compassionate, honest. But if materialism is true, then good and evil are not even real ideas. That's just the epiphenomena, if anything. If materialism is correct, then, for example, purpose. Let's talk about purpose. If materialism is right, then I guess if I have a purpose at all, it's to make as many copies of my DNA as possible. Now, if your purpose in life is to make as many copies of your DNA as possible, there's some really scary things that could be justified. And by the way, if materialism is right, then racism may have possibly some basis. All right? If materialism is correct, then any kind of sexual behavior is as good as any other kind. There's nothing evil about genocide, and racism and slavery can easily be defended by this worldview. Oh, wow. If materialism is right, then justice, the word justice is undefinable. The word ought and should drop out of our vocabulary. By the way, materialists betray themselves on this all the time. Oh, you shouldn't push your Christianity on us according to what value are you making this statement. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
All right, and think about this. This has been tried. A determinist materialistic philosophy has been tried on a national scale. Russia tried it. USSR. Forgive me, but Red China tried it. Okay, the French Revolution is kind of going in that direction. Pol Pot, all right, the regime in North Korea. Wow, great example. All right. No wonder in the mid-20th century, the culture was 30 years behind, but in the 30s and 40s on the universities, materialism, determinism was essentially rejected as a worldview. All right, so then we got what's called postmodernism. Seat over here, seat over there. All right, I think we got four seats, I'm pretty sure. Oh, yeah. So let's talk about postmodernism as a worldview. Got it? Postmodernism, the loss of truth. According to postmodernism, truth, if such a thing exists at all, is the property of culture. It's true for you, but it's not true for me. If postmodernism is true, then there is no objective truth at all. So if enough people believe that gravity's not real, then it's not real. Ask a postmodernist to be consistent with that and step off a cliff and see how it goes, okay? That's probably not fair, because according to their version, it's okay to believe in gravity. So according to postmodernism, truth is created by those who hold to it. Okay? By the way, in my opinion, postmodernism is a better worldview than materialism or naturalism. It's a step up. Okay? It's just my opinion. By the way, postmodernism's approach to culture and history actually has advantages over the prideful, arrogant Western materialism of the 18th and 19th century. For example, postmodernism is less individualistic. It's more inclusive. It gives honor to culture, to beauty, to wonder, to imagination in a way that determinism doesn't. It does a better job of explaining the course of human history. And it also accepts Eastern perspectives and Western perspectives and other perspectives in a healthier way. So honestly, in my opinion, postmodernism as a cultural force has as much good, maybe more good than bad to offer. But as a worldview, let me talk about that. Because remember, true, right, better. So the basic premise of postmodernism is there is no absolute truth. And that truth is created rather than discovered. All right, and let's talk about that. Okay? If postmodernism is correct, reality is a social construction. It's true for you, but it's not true for me. Meaning, if it exists at all, lies in the community of believers. No rational way to discover which is the best worldview. All right, there's two theories of truth. The correspondence theory of truth, that's the one I like, which says a statement is true if reality corresponds to that. In other words, if this statement makes predictions and those predictions turn out to not be true, then the statement is not true. If it makes predictions that turn out to work, then at least preliminarily, it might be true. And then there's relativism, which is postmodernism. A claim is made true by accepting it. Okay? That's postmodernism. So the question is, truth is either discovered or created. All right? Which is it? Discovered or created? See, we have a gentleman here allowing the woman. And this seat here is available. Here we go. I don't need my thing to be here. There's another seat. All right. The most polite man in every room is always undressed. So you knew he was going to give up his seat because... Anybody who knows undress? Yeah. All you other guys. Just kidding. All the ladies are sitting, so there's, you know, it's all right. All right. If postmodernists are right, then reality is a social construction. It's true for you, it's not true for me, is reality. There are no universal transcultural standard truths of value. Okay. Consciousness is social. All truth is relative. The individual has no authority. In other words, when you write a book, the meaning of that book is not determined by you. It's determined by the people who read that book. Okay, great. Now, here's the problem. It's not true. It's self-refuting. Are you absolutely sure that absolutely nothing is true? Say yeah. You're a postmodern, okay?
Yeah.
So is that absolutely true?
Yeah.
No, it's you just contradicted yourself. The one thing the postmodernist is completely sure about is that nothing is true. But that's circular reasoning right there. And anyway, I don't care what anybody says, all right? What anybody says, if I let go of this thing, it's going to fall, all right? All right, there you go. Boom. And, you know, science as a philosophy of life, determinism, it's a terrible worldview, but science works. And it's true that science can only provide consistent explanations and not the capital T truth. But the fact that science works is an indication that there are things that are just plain true. So, for example, gravity exists. And besides, I mean, either God exists or he doesn't. And I don't care what anybody says. All the postmodernists in the world can say it's a social construction. God is a social construction and we got to, you know, deconstruct all this religious stuff. But I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. But either God exists or he doesn't. And they can't both be true. I don't care. So postmodernism is nonsense. And again, like I said, as a social approach to culture and food and music, this is fine. But as a worldview. All right, yeah, there you go. If your culture told you it was safe to jump off a cliff, would you jump? Oh, there you go. So, like I said, science may not be true, but it works. The naturally convincing explanation of the success of science is that it is gaining a tightening grasp on an actual reality. The goal of scientific endeavor is to gain an understanding of the structure of the physical world. The conclusions are tentative, but they're dictated by the way things actually are. Okay? So, not true. All right? If it doesn't agree with reality, with the world as it is, then it's not true. But does it provide answers to the questions we care about? For example, what is my purpose? I don't know. I mean, it depends on your culture. What is my value? I don't know. I mean, you know, it may be a lot or a little, or it just kind of depends on your culture. Okay? Is it okay to steal? Well, you know, again, in some cultures it is, in others it's not. What about lying? Okay, postmodernism, it's way better than naturalism, in my opinion, but it sure is confusing. And it leaves us feeling empty. And I believe it can be dangerous as well. The one thing that postmodernists really don't like is the hero, the revolutionary. Because the revolutionary, what their job is to come in and say, what you're doing right now is wrong. I was giving a talk in Stockholm a few years ago, and I made a statement I thought was sort of obvious. I hadn't really kind of figured out this whole postmodernism thing yet. I didn't really kind of get what we're really talking about. So I made a statement. I said, you know, I don't care what anybody says. Some things are just plain wrong. And people can think what they want, but they're wrong. And this girl, this woman, this young woman, sort of a couple rows back, she like almost fell out of her chair. And during the break, I was asking her, what's wrong? She's having trouble breathing. Because in postmodernism, the only thing that's really a sin is to call anything a sin. All right? Yes. So sin is a cultural creation. Why prefer one moral system over another? Like I said, the one kind of person that postmodernists really hate are Jesus Christ and Siddhartha Buddha and Mahatma Gandhi and people like that. Okay? So now let's talk about the Christian worldview. I'm doing it right in the middle of my talk, which is interesting. Let's talk about the Christian worldview. And so it's too late for you to do this, but this is a good exercise, is to close your Bible, sit down and think, how would I explain the Christian picture of reality without even using a verse in the Bible? And I believe one way to do this would be to read Genesis 1 through 3, and we're doing a class on Genesis 1 through 3, kind of summarize it, and that would be the Christian worldview, pretty much. So this is my sort of distilling it down. It's not the same version as in the book, but I was just putting this on, you know, in my slide just now. So, number one, the physical world is real. By the way, according to pantheists, it's not real. All right, now, either the physical world is real or it's not real. But if it's not real, then the Christian worldview is wrong. It's not true. And not only is it real, it was created out of nothing. It was created ex nihilo. The universe is not eternal. That's the Christian worldview. And it's good. Like I said in our Genesis class, if the Christian worldview says that the world was created good, that creates a problem for the Christian worldview, honestly. Because look around. So, but we have to finish our point, 5 points here. So the physical world is created, it's real, and it's good. In fact, Genesis 1:36, oh, I just quoted a scripture. All right, it's very good. Number two, there exists a parallel reality other than physical, which is a spirituality, which is not directly discernible by the human senses. Humans are both physical and spiritual. We're not just little disembodied spirits. We're physical and spiritual. The creator of both is the God of the Bible. Although physical creation is good, evil does indeed exist, and it is real. According to atheism, it's not real. According to dualism, it's an equal sort of competition with the good. Okay, it's real. And it exists because of rebellion of persons with free will. So, again, that statement, number 1C, is problematic for the Christian worldview. All right? But item 4 is, I believe, the Christian worldview response to that difficult question, the question of evil. Every worldview deals with the question of evil, and we'll see how they deal with it. Okay? Anyway, although the physical creation is good, evil exists, it is real, it's the result of the rebellion of people who have free will. Okay? Number 5, those who rebel and sin will be judged because justice is also real. And number 6, the solution to number 5 is the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. That's kind of, and by the way, all that is in Genesis 1 through 3. We can talk about that if you have questions at the end. Okay. The Christian worldview is true. For example, the universe is real. All right. Let me see. Okay. So if you think it's not real, let's say you think it's not real. Okay. Is it okay if I just, you know, is it okay, you know?
Do it.
Do it.
your friend, you got to change your friends, man. All right. It is good. I acknowledge. See, according to pantheism, the physical world is essentially evil. And according to dualism and other worldviews. All right? But I would strongly defend that creation itself is not just good, but very good. But evil is definitely real. All right? Talk to a woman who was beaten by her husband. Or talk to the Jews after World War II and tell me evil is not real. And despite what naturalists may say, I exist. I'm a person. I'm a self-aware, creative. I'm, in fact, in the image of God. Yeah, beings exist in the image of God. And my consciousness is no mere epiphenomena. It's not just chemicals and nerve impulses zapping around. All right? And by the way, we can talk about science, but I'm not going to get into that. Okay? Does it give proper, reasonable, sensible, good answers to the questions people really care about? Questions like, how did I get here? According to the Genesis, we are the reason the universe exists. Now, that could just be wishful thinking, I guess. Okay, what's my value? We had a Bible talk on campus just this week, right? And we asked, what would you know, for your hand, for what's your hand worth? Some smart aleck said, I'd do it for $1 million. I think it was, yeah, that was Malero. Malero would not,
a billion.
We know, we human beings know that we are of infinite value. Right? Okay? What's my purpose? It's to glorify God, to love Him, to be loved by Him. The Christianity answers so many questions like, why is it that we can actually understand how the universe works? Can science explain this most basic question? How is it that human beings are actually able to understand the workings? How could a universe by itself create self-aware beings within it that could understand the working of it, of the universe itself? It's crazy stuff. Well, the Bible can answer that just instantaneously because the heavens declare the glory of God. Why is there pain and suffering in the world? Tough questions with complicated answers. But Christianity answers all of these questions in fantastic ways. And I've not gone over some other worldviews. I'm going to have to do really quick versions of those. But I'd say no other worldview even comes close to the Christian theism. Well, how about Jewish theism? That does pretty well also. Okay, the problem of sin, the problem of suffering, the problem of evil, the problem of death. All these difficult questions are dealt with in powerful, satisfactory, consistent ways by the Christian worldview. What about does accepting the Christian worldview as, in other words, actually living, not just I believe in it, but actually living according to it, would it make us a better person? Well, think about what the world owes to Christianity. What things exist that would not have existed if it were not for Christianity? Science. Science, that's a fact. Because there were Christian philosophers who said, okay, according to the Bible, the universe is governed by a single God, so therefore there should be physical laws that are the same everywhere. You know, according to the Bible, God wanted us to understand Him through creation, so it would have to be mathematical. And basically, the basic presupposition of science came from Christianity. That's a historical fact. Atheism could never have produced science. And by the way, I believe pantheism also could not have produced science. Slavery, if it were not for Christianity, slavery would be a predominant thing going on in every culture in the world. And that's a historical fact, and it makes sense ethically and morally from the Bible. Civil rights, women's rights. And, you know, I'm going to talk about just sort of doing good things, essentially. And if you go to Muslim countries, Muslims do most of the good works that go on in Muslim countries. I'll talk about that. But if you go to a Buddhist or a Hindu country, most of the benevolent works are being done by Christian groups. Why? Because of the Christian worldview. I'll talk about why that is when I get to those two religions. Okay, other worldviews. And again, I only have, you know, maybe 15 minutes or so to go sort of zip through some of these and throw a few things out there for you to think about. Okay, because I want to do Q&A. We've already talked about materialism, naturalism. We talked about postmodernism. We talked about biblical theism. I'm not going to go over deism, but I am going to discuss pantheism. I'm going to discuss Islamic theism. So here we go. So there's two points of view. One is religion is like many different paths of the same thing. You know, you could get there through the, you know, you could go through the, you know, Islam path, that's a good one, or you could take the mysticism, or, you know, Buddhism, Baha'i, you know, Christianity, that's a good one too. You know, Jesus is a good guy, Buddha's a good guy, Baha'u'llah is a good guy, you know, Muhammad's a good guy, they're all good guys, all the, you know, same thing. That's nonsense. That is utter nonsense. Because I'm telling you, if pantheism is true, then theism is a lie. And no, they're not different ways. Now, it is true that all world religions have certain things in common, such as, you know, at least they believe in some kind of morality of some sort. All right. But their basic worldview is in diametric opposition. We have to talk about that. So even if you could almost defend this idea from some perspective, from the point of being true, that's doesn't make any sense at all. All right, anyway, now, if Genesis 1:1 is true, in the beginning, what's that mean? Beginning. In the beginning, God. That means God pre-exists. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, spiritual and physical. And then, you know, Genesis 3 kind of helps explain why there's evil in the world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if Genesis 1:1 is true, then animism, polytheism, pantheism, dualism, naturalism, deism, well, maybe not deism, postmodernism and every other ism, other than perhaps deism, they're all completely and utterly true. And you don't disprove deism until you get to Genesis 2. So you get all the way to Genesis 2 before deism goes off the cliff. All right, I'm using a lot of words that I'm not even defining. Feel free to like, wait a minute, but not now, okay? Let me finish the lecture and then we'll do, you know, 15 minutes, half an hour of Q&A. All right, so I'm going to just talk very, very briefly about the most common worldviews other than atheism, postmodernism, and Christian theism. And those are essentially world religions such as Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam. Okay, got it? Hinduism, principal religion of India, began as polytheism. If you look at Hinduism in 1500 BC, if it was even such a thing, it was really polytheism. And if you go to India today, Hinduism is very polytheistic. There's hundreds, thousands of gods. But it evolved over time into a religion that had an underlying philosophy, which is what we call pantheism. Pantheism, pan means all, theism means God. So the basic assumption underlying all Hindu religions, because there's really no such thing as Hinduism, they're Hinduisms. It's like a plurality of religions, which can fairly easily be sort of looked at through the Vedas and the Brahmaputras and the scriptures. And all right, so pantheism. The idea that God is all and all is God. Now, if God is all and all is God, then the universe has to be eternal. And every cosmology in Hinduism proposes an eternal universe. You know, endless cycles of creation, you know, sustaining and then being destruction. Shiva destroys, Brahma sustains, all that kind of stuff. All right? It's very syncretistic. There's Ganesh, the goddess of wisdom, etc. Again, the kind of Hinduism you come across in America is not, that's not obvious, but if you go to India, it's like, it's kind of in your face. Okay, so some important vocabulary in Hinduism is Brahman. That's that universal. By the way, God is not a person. That doesn't make any sense. God is this impersonal sort of, it's kind of like Star Wars, kind of. Or Pandora. That's the Hollywood version of God is often pantheism. Atman, soul. And so the goal of Hinduism is for Atman to become Brahman. What's that mean? The goal of Hinduism is for you to cease to exist. Ooh, whoop-de-doo. Now, if that were true, then we'd have to just deal with that, I guess. Okay? And another important word in Hinduism is maya. The physical world is an illusion. It's just an illusion. All right? And our bodies are not real. They appear to be real. And the goal, by the way, at least Hinduism has values and goals. I mean, it's better than atheism, and it's, in many ways, it's better than postmodernism, at least as a worldview. All right? Because it does posit the idea of morality, moral truth. The goal of Hinduism is to escape the cycle of karma and reincarnation. To achieve nirvana is to no longer exist as a separate entity, to be absorbed into that universal soul. The Hindu worldview has one looking to oneself because you are God and God is you. That's why you do yoga. When you do yoga, yoga is a great exercise thing, whatever, but the essence of yoga, unfortunately, is pantheism. And you just kind of listen. If you listen carefully, that's why I'm not a huge fan of yoga personally, but I don't judge people who do yoga. It's okay. But, you know, because it's pantheism. All right, is it true? No, it is wrong. The universe was created. Okay? And physical things are real, and they're good, because according to Hinduism, the more physical you are, the more evil you are. And they have the different levels. There's all these different levels of cosmology and all that kind of stuff. Go to Angkor Wat, that's like a picture of the Hindu worldview. And all these levels, they don't exist. It's just not true. The physical world is real and it's good. Evil is no illusion because, again, according to Hinduism, evil is just, it just appears to be real. But because all is God, God is all. Therefore, evil is not real. All right. Well, that might maybe explain why, if you go to India, so many of the benevolent works are done by Christians. There's a reason for that. By the way, there's some very, very nice, loving, caring Hindus. There's a lot of them. But their worldview doesn't support that. Okay? Does it answer the important questions? Well, it does a lot better than postmodernism or naturalism. But it essentially says that I have no value. I, person, me, have no value. And in fact, arguably, I'm not even real, as at least it's an illusion. So that's a problem. Like I said, better than naturalism, but it is ultimately a selfish religion. And suffering, it says suffering is not real. No wonder suffering is not dealt with in an appropriate way in a Hindu worldview without some outsiders coming in and saying, we need to build hospitals and stuff like that. It says evil is not real. Okay, Buddhism, it's a little confusing because Buddha ignored the existence of this higher reality. He didn't want to talk about higher reality. All right, but it's pantheist. All right, it's I don't care what anybody says. Buddhism is pantheism as well. All right, the principal religion of these places, it's pantheistic, but arguably not theistic. It's more of a psychology and a philosophy than anything else. Four noble truths: suffering is not getting what you want. Cause of suffering is desire, which leads to rebirth. The way to end suffering is to end desire. The way to end desire and of suffering is the Eightfold Path, which is right viewpoint, right values, right speech. By the way, these are great. These are great. This is great stuff. I kind of like Buddhism, honestly. I kind of like it, except that it's not true. And there's some other problems. And I like Buddha, other than that he abandoned his wife and kids. That's problematic to me. But he's a pretty good guy. His Eightfold Path was better than either extreme on either end, asceticism or the worldliness of Hinduism. But there's some problems there. Because the goal of Buddhism is to become, not to be passionate, but to be dispassionate. To escape your emotions and to withdraw into your inner world. No wonder, guess who does most of the benevolent works in Buddhist countries? Christians. There's a reason for that. And it's not true. There's a Buddhist cosmology. I took that picture in a Buddhist temple in Thailand. That's those different levels and the same thing. Bad, physical, bad, more, less physical, good, physical, not real, you know, spiritual, real, all that stuff. Okay, I don't have time to do much with Buddhism, but basically it falls for the same reason that Hinduism falls as a worldview. Not true. Whether it gives answers that really satisfy, I talked about that a little bit. Does it make us a better person? I talked about some reasons why that's a little bit to be questioned. Better than an atheist? Sure. Less confusing than postmodernism? Absolutely. But not true. Doesn't give answers anywhere near as satisfactory as Christianity. And besides, it doesn't make as good of a person. Spend some time in India, you'll learn some of the things that are true there. By the way, like I said, some awesome people. I'm not putting down any individual. I'm talking about a worldview, though. All right. Suffering is an illusion. This cyclic eternal cosmology, etc. Okay, is it true? The world's an illusion? Really? Okay. Cosmology is certainly not true. Does it answer the important questions similar to Hinduism? Does it make us a better person? It's less self-focused than Hinduism, but suffering is not real. The goal is to be dispassionate. All right, I could talk about evil. I want to end fairly soon. I want to talk about Islamic theism. By the way, of all the worldviews out there, Islam is much closer. The Islamic worldview is much closer to the Christian worldview than almost any other. All right? You know how it goes? The one who's most like you tends to be your worst enemy. You know how that kind of works? Just look at the Arabs and the Jews who come from that part of the world. It's just always, they're so similar, always fighting. All right? And so, many of the things in the Christian worldview are still true in Islam. Oh boy, can I go back that many slides? All right, here we go. For example, that's right. Where was the Christian? It's in the middle. I forgot. Uh-oh. We're in trouble.
Yeah. This is our Genesis class.
I had to take that thing out of there. It's like a demon. All right. Almost there. Here we go. Yeah, physical world is real. Islam, yes. Created, Islam, yes. Good, Islam, yes. There exists a parable unseen reality which is not directly discernible to the senses. Humans are both physical and spiritual. Islamic worldview agrees with that. The creator of both is God. Agree with that. Although the physical creation is good, evil exists, it is real, and it's the result of rebellion against the will of God. Oh, wait a minute, free will. All right, free will is problematic. Okay, whether free will is even a real thing in Islam is highly to be questioned if you read the Quran. So we could talk about that. So, we got to slow down here. Those who sin and rebel against God will be judged. Islam is with us on that one. The solution, they're definitely not with us on the solution, that's for sure. All right? So like I said, more the same than different. In fact, I believe science could have come out of Islam. It didn't, but it could have. It could have. Okay? So that's worth noting. Islam. Oh, rats. I got to learn how to do this better, but anyway. I'm really close to being done, by the way. All right. So, Islamic theology. Surely good deeds take away evil deeds. All right. So, Islamic theology, it's like this. Okay? All right, I give to the poor. I lie. I pray five times a day. I commit adultery. Right? I observe Ramadan. Okay, so it is work salvation. It's absolutely work salvation. The problem with Islam is everything is determined by God. So if that's true, then whether you do or do not sort of work the balance in the right direction is determined by God, not by you. So that's a problem. Okay? And according to Islam, there's big sins and there's little sins. And look at the list of little sins. Lying, anger, lust. Okay, these are things that are little sins in Islam, which explains some things. I'll just say that. Okay? So in Islam, salvation is by your own effort. There's many more passages in my book that from the Quran. I do as much quoting from the Quran as I do from the Bible in this book, just because of what I'm trying to do here. So in Islam, you earn grace, if grace is, even means anything. In Islam, God is not loving so much as he's merciful. Islam, mercy, yes, love, because God is very distant from us. The whole thing where I have your name written in the palm of my hand, that would definitely not be in the Quran. Not even close to that. There's a couple of suggestions in the Quran that we're close to God, but they're all about God's going to get you and he's going to destroy you. So there's some differences there. We earn salvation, we earn paradise, we earn favor with Allah. In Islam, salvation is earned through the efforts of those who are pre-selected by Allah to inhabit a very central paradise. That might be a little bit of an exaggeration. I back off on that slightly on the book. You can read that. So in Christianity, salvation is granted by the grace of a loving God to those who, through faith and repentance, throw in the baptism thing, accept that love. Okay? So who reaches out to whom? That's the question. With every other religion other than Judaism and Christianity, it's mankind straining through their good works or through offering sacrifice or obeying certain taboos or whatever to find their way to God. But in Christianity and Judaism, it's God reaching down to us. That is a nude picture, so I'll move on there. That was a joke. It's Michelangelo. Come on, it's Michelangelo. If you can't handle that, then just don't go into the Vatican, all right? Just to stay out of the... All right. Anyway. Work salvation, salvation by grace. All right, Islamic worldview, obviously closer to the Christian worldview than Eastern religion, but God is very distant. In Islam, Allah determines everything, even who will choose to follow him. There's some passages from the Quran to support that. They hear Muslims saying, inshallah, 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 which means God wills it. And I could give several examples where it would be a little disturbing for a Christian to say those kind of things. Is it true? Is Muhammad actually a prophet, as which is claimed? Well, the wives, the massacre of Jews, the doctrine of abrogation, and a few other things makes me question whether it's true. Although its cosmology is essentially the same as that of Christianity, does it make its followers better than they otherwise would have been? Well, there's a few problems related to jihad. Are women respected? Read the Quran and decide for yourself. I believe the Quran respects women more than many Muslim cultures do. The religion does better job than... But then again, that's true in Christian countries as well. So there you go. So decide for yourself. I would say of all the worldviews, the second best probably is Islamic theism. But there's problems there. So, the theologies of the world religions are fundamentally and diametrically opposed to one another. Many paths to the same God is ludicrous. It doesn't make any sense. The worldview of Christianity is radically different. In the question of whether it's true or consistent with reality, it wins hands down. Okay, in the question of giving satisfactory, consistent, sensible, and awesome answers to the questions that people care about, true. And creating the best person imaginable, if followed consistently. I'm going to give the Christian worldview an A+. You can decide for yourself. Okay? There we go. So, any questions or responses to that? I used a lot of big words. You might want me to define them. I made some claims that honestly I didn't support. There are worldviews that I didn't cover. Questions? Yeah.
So you said that the Bible has like a way to justify the existence of evil. So I wanted to know.
Right. All right. So, and I thank you. He said, what about the question of evil? Well, let me review. According to Atheism, how does it explain evil? By saying it doesn't exist. Postmodernism, how does it explain evil? Well, you know, it's evil for you, but it's not evil for me. It's all kind of relative. And pantheism, how does it explain evil? Evil is not real. Islamic theism is pretty close to Christian theism, but the problem with Islamic theism is God is the source of both good and evil. And that's problematic. Okay, so the Christian answer to why there's evil is love gives a choice. In fact, again, according to Genesis, the reason the universe exists at all is so that God could create us in his image so he could walk with us. So the reason the universe exists is so that we could love God, that God could love us, and we could love one another. But love gives a choice. All right? In fact, you cannot have love. You can't have forced love. That's an oxymoron. So that's why there's two trees in the garden. I'm answering this question, okay? You can go next, possibly. Okay, that's why there's that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's my understanding. Is this directly stated in the Bible? It's implied by the story. This is what the story tells us. So God had to give us a choice because otherwise we couldn't have loved him. And the choice had to be a real one. It couldn't be a choice between I give you $1 million and I kick you in the knee. I mean, it couldn't be like that. In fact, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it was desirable. And we rebelled against God. We said to God, you can keep your stuff. That's not good enough. I want this over here. And we brought evil into the world. All right. So evil is the result of God's love for us. When you first hear that, that sounds sort of crazy. But remember the other worldview's explanations of evil is to deny its reality or something else. None of those work. So the Christian answer to the question of evil, it doesn't even sound right when you first hear it. But I believe if you think about it, it makes complete sense. Okay? Question or a comment?
Question. Okay. Based off what you said, made like in the image of God, what does that really mean?
Okay. We're made in the image of God. In the image of God, he created him. Okay? Well, it's not a physical appearance. Like I think I said just a little while ago, God is not a guy or a girl, and he doesn't have hair or fingers or any of that sort of stuff, because God is the pre-existent one. All right? So, we're in the image of God in the sense that we are persons, that we are self-aware, that we have free will, we have freedom of action. We're in the image of God in that we're capable of love, of mercy. Okay, we're made in the image of God in that we're self-aware. So think about the qualities that God has. Omniscience? No. Omnipotence? No. All right, but yeah. So the emotions that God has are the emotions that we have, etc. Okay? That's my understanding. Yeah.
Earlier you mentioned how slavery was abolished due to Christianity, but back when slavery was existent, at least in the U.S., a lot of slave owners would quote scripture.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That holds up.
Yeah. I teach a class called Answering the Hard Questions. And all the hard questions in Christianity are theological ones. Why is there all this violence in the Old Testament? And why does God allow for divorce and slavery and things like that? And that's a complicated question with a complicated answer. There's this idea of progressive revelation. And Jesus gave the final revelation. So, for example, in the Old Testament, God allowed for divorce, but he hates divorce because of the stubbornness of our hearts. But as for slavery, nobody could possibly even remotely imagine Jesus saying slavery, good idea. Okay? So we know from the life of Jesus that God is not a friend of slavery. And yet, God actually allowed for a form of slavery to exist even within the Jewish system. But if you look Everything God said about slavery was to limit it. For example, slavery, it was not chattel slavery. And by the way, God did not like even the slavery that he allowed under Judaism. He did not like it, of course not. But basically, the children were automatically not slaves. In fact, every 50 years, all slaves were freed, no matter what, under any circumstances. Even indebtedness was canceled in the Jubilee year. All right, we could go down. You weren't allowed to abuse them and all these sort of things. So everything, just like everything God said about the war that he allowed Israel to be involved in, was to limit its scope and to keep it as close to what God would have wanted as possible. Same thing with slavery. Now, in the New Testament, it's a little bit different because even the New Testament does not directly, absolutely say slavery has to be abandoned by all people immediately. And yet you have the book of Philemon. All right. And the fact is, we could talk about in England, it was, yeah, sure, you could use Calvinism to, and sort of a misinterpretation of the Bible to support all kinds of stuff that is disgusting and horrible and that we reject completely in our culture, praise God. Okay. But it was Wilberforce and John Wesley. It was Christian reformers that basically in your face said, we will not stop until this evil practice is ended. And their arguments were always Christian arguments. So does Christianity, in quotes, have a lot of explaining to do in relation to slavery? Absolutely it does. Okay? I won't deny that. But I would say that no rational understanding of the life of Jesus and what Jesus taught could ever agree that Christians would support slavery. Okay? And of course, there's Onesimus, and God specifically, not God, Paul told Onesimus Philemon, free Onesimus, come on. So, complex answer, not a simple answer, and the Christian world has some explaining to do. But I'm not going to change what I said, because what I said is true. Okay? You asked really good questions, Mama. He never lets me go on anything. No, somebody else first, and I'll come back. Okay, Alex.
Let me turn back to the topic of this discussion, what is the truth?
Yes.
And so, basically, you were saying earlier how truth is becoming, like, more subjective. I think one way, you think the other way.
Our culture, our thinking of it as more subjective, yes.
Right. Kind of live in different worlds, but at the same time we live in one world. For example, like Russia invading Ukraine, they believe it's 100% justified on their side, and on the other side, Ukraine obviously think it's not justified. So we have like this division. One way we think this way and this way. It's like, where is the common ground, and how do we mark that? Like, how do we agree on like some topics? Is it morality? Is it something else? How do we agree?
Well, the question is, who is we?
Well, I guess we. It can be cultures. It's different people. Some people think.
Yeah. See, Christianity is inherently a countercultural movement. It always has been and it always will be. Okay, some societies have accepted more of the Christian worldview than others. For example, by the way, during the Revolutionary War in America, the founding fathers weren't even Christians at all. They were deists. So this idea that our country began as a Christian country, that's a historical falsehood. However, during the 19th century, after the Second Great Awakening, America became fairly Christian, honestly. You know, and so to that extent, some American values are probably in some ways more in line with godly values. But then again, individualism and capitalism, I don't know about that. So, we could ask, what would be the Christian response to what, for example, Russia did by invading Ukraine? And obviously, all Christians would say, that's terrible. Doing that in the name of greater Russia. You know, how's that, you know, justify bombing hospitals and, you know. But you're asking a question that it's not necessarily Christians, you know, we don't run the elections. We don't, you know, so The best we can hope for is to help individuals be saved and to create places of safety, of family, for those who are willing to live in God's kingdom. But our weapons are not the weapons of the world. And so I don't think, I mean, in theory, Christianity would be the answers to all those questions, but in reality, it never will be. Jesus said, narrow is the road and difficult the way. Narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and very few people find it. And so Christians can and do influence the societies they're part of, and they always should. But honestly, I'm not sure there's that many more Christians in some of the good countries than some of the bad countries. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think I really have an answer for your question. By the way, you're Ukrainian, correct? Ukrainian. So Alex, probably everybody in this room is kind of with you on the whole who's right and wrong in that war, but it wasn't Christianity that influenced Russia to attack Ukraine, and it probably wasn't Christianity that that influenced Ukraine to resist it. That's the debatable point. Okay? I've been in Ukraine. I've talked to priests from the Orthodox Church. Ukraine has a surprising number of evangelicals. Russia has relatively few. Ukraine has actually, there's a surprising number of evangelicals there. But I whether Christianity in theory is the answer to that question is one thing, but in practice, we will remain countercultural. Matthew 5, 1 through 12 will never be the way of the world, that's for sure. If it were, that war would not have happened, that's for sure. So sorry for a not completely satisfactory answer to your question. All right, Malero, go for it. I mean,
okay.
Or he's writing down his fourth question right now.
When you say the Christian worldview, do you refer to all denominations?
No, what I said is, for example, good, true, good answers, and then better, right? So the question of better is, if a person lives consistent with that worldview. Okay? So when I talked about the Christian worldview being better, the assumption was the person we're talking about is living consistent with that. Of course, whether people live consistent with the Buddhist worldview or the Hindu worlview or any worldview, is that's a difficult question. But the only way to fairly analyze any worldview is to assume the person we're talking about is living a life at least reasonably consistent with that worldview. Okay, now I forgot your question.
I was referring to the Christian denominations. Are you talking about all of them? Or are you...
Now I'm talking about people who are living within the Christian worldview. All right, and so there are Baptists, there are Presbyterians, there are Roman Catholics, all of whom take the Christian worldview very seriously. And I refuse to answer the question, which one has a higher percentage of people that are truly living submitted lives to Christ? I refuse to answer that question. I'm just not going to do it. Now, you and I can have some personal discussions later, whether I agree with the doctrines of different denominations and stuff like that. But I'm talking about people who are submitting their lives to Christ. And there are people with lives submitted to Christ, whether they have right doctrine, blah, 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 is another thing, in any Christian group. Are there Christian groups with a smaller proportion of that? Yeah, but I'm not gonna tell you what I think about that. I'm gonna just keep my mouth shut. We are a non-denominational club.
Woo!
Yes! I feel like I was almost being trapped by that question. All right, we've got 6 more minutes for questions. Somebody else. Go ahead.
There's like a list of different worldviews in your PowerPoint pages,
but get my book. By the way, they're for sale, all right?
Okay.
They're not free. They're for sale.
Just
they're 17. Yeah.
They are. Like, not, you don't have to, like, repeat them, just, like, what they mean.
It's not a complete list, okay? I think the list is going to come up pretty soon here. Hopefully we'll be able to get through that one slide. Remember that slide, you know? Okay, where was it? In the beginning. Yeah, there's baseball in the Bible. All right. Yeah, here we go. There you go. All right. In my book, there's a chapter on worldviews, and there's several different ways of organizing worldviews. But these are the main ones that almost everybody you know probably has a worldview that would fairly easily fall within one of these categories. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Naturalism, I talked about. Postmodernism, deism. Deism is the idea that, for example, Isaac Newton was a deist. Charles Darwin was not an atheist. He was not even an agnostic. He was a deist. Thomas Jefferson, deist. Benjamin Franklin, probably a deist. A deist is one who believes in a personal creator God who essentially created the universe and is backed off, and the universe is going according to those laws. So Newton created the idea of a mechanical universe. So now there's sort of ranges between theism and deism, but most deists deny the miraculous. Deists, for example, will not agree that Jesus was raised from the dead. Thomas Jefferson didn't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, and he didn't even believe in miracles. So deism was a fairly popular movement, especially in Europe, in the second half of the 18th century, moving into the early 19th century. And it's for scientists who begin from an atheist perspective and realize, wow, there's a creator, a lot of them land in deism. Okay? I had a friend, a very good friend, we taught a class together a number of semesters, and he was an atheist. He was Jewish, but he was an atheist. Interesting, but that's not as surprising as you think. And I remember, because we taught the class together, we talked about science and religion, and he came into my office after about 5 years working together. He says, John, there's a creator. You know, and like he became a deist. Okay? Pantheism, we talked about. Animism is the idea that most, in quotes, forgive me for saying this, primitive cultures were animistic. So they saw everything is spirits. And there's the spirit in the mountains and in the trees. And a lot of native-type religions are animistic. Generally, when people started going into cities, they tended to move towards what we call polytheism, the Norse theology, the Greek mythology, the Norse and Hinduism is... The early forms of Hinduism were clearly polytheism. The idea of many gods is sort of not necessarily working in harmony, in competition. And in polytheism, we exist to serve the gods, not the gods to serve us. That was the chief worldview in opposition to Judaism. Okay, dualism, yin-yang, that kind of thing. The idea that there's competing good and evil. So I guess there's two creators. Dualism is a confusing thing. Zoroastrianism is dualistic. Mithraism, dualistic. There were a lot of dualistic religions in the Roman Empire. All right? And then biblical theism. Okay? Yes? Yeah, nihilism would be under naturalism. I've got a section on that. So basically, no, definitely not. That's under naturalism or materialism. So the materialist says the only things that are real are physical, measurable, observable things. So if that's true, what's the meaning of life? Well, the nihilist is honest with themselves and say life is just meaningless. It's just so I might as well just play video games. There are a lot of practical nihilists in our culture. They just exist for pleasure. And they, what's his name? The comedian, the comedy about nothing. Come on. Seinfeld. Seinfeld is a nihilist. They're asking him, what are you doing now that you're retired? He says, it's really hard to do nothing. It's just really hard. Mm. Okay. But see, nihilists tend to be suicidal. Talk about Nietzsche. And so nihilists tend to say, all right, I mean, philosophically, there's no meaning to life. So there's two versions of semi-meaning within that, which is existentialism, which is you create meaning. So meaning is created by the individual for the individual. And then there's Marxism, which says meaning is found not in the individual, but in the group. So you basically want to raise the average of everybody, and you bring everybody up here down, everybody down here up, because the greatest good is good for the many, not for the individual. All right? And so those are the two, so there's three versions, if you will, of determinism, naturalism, materialism, which is existentialism, nihilism, and Marxism, to simplify it. Okay, all three are pretty depressing, although of the three, existentialism is way better. I mean, Hemingway was an existentialist, et cetera. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's animism.
Okay.
You know, maybe that's an oversimplification. Anything on this screen is oversimplification, but in order to handle information, you have to oversimplify and you know, talk to people individually what they think. But yeah, that's basically shamanism is animism. And by the way, a lot of Buddhist religions have animistic elements in them. All right? And Islam in Indonesia and Philippines has a lot of polytheism and animism in it as well. There's sort of the folk Islam. In the Middle East, no, it's pretty straightforward Quranic sort of, you know, Islamic theism. But Islam in other parts of the world, it's been syncretistic. Roman Catholicism has been syncretistic and has been tolerant. And it's debatable whether that's a good thing or bad. That's a debatable thing, honestly. That's a sincere debate to have. But Roman Catholicism has been syncretistic towards some kinds of animism and polytheism. Yeah?
What does syncretistic mean?
That means sin means not S-I-N, S-Y-N. Synonym, the same. So syncretistic means you absorb elements of different worldviews. Yeah. And so Roman Catholicism, the Roman Catholic Church made some decisions in the 13th, 14th, and 15th century to essentially take that approach as they were bringing Christianity to China, to India. And honestly, it worked. So you know, everybody can decide for themselves whether that was a good compromise to make. But yeah, most evangelical or Protestant churches have a fairly strong stand against that approach to spreading Christianity. Right or wrong? You decide. I'm just describing here. Yes?
Does a worldview having good effects on the world make it closer to truth?
No, it doesn't necessarily. But again, I mean, that's the premise of my book. You do with that premise what you will. So, but anyway, I, for the sake of argument, give a potential definition for what would make for a good worldview.
Right. I'm a Christian, by the way, so I agree with you.
Right. Just because something appears to be good to us doesn't make it true or right. All right. There's this concept. Yeah, I've heard people say, if that's the way God is, then I'm going to refuse to worship him. Well, good luck with that one. That's not a very good approach. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I don't like my boss, then I'm just not going to do what he says. Well, you get fired. All right. So this idea that God ought to be loving and compassionate or something like that. Where did that come from? God is what he is. Let's assume the God of the Bible is the actual one. His qualities are what they are. We have no influence on that. And so why does God have to be, in quotes, good? Of course, what's the definition of good? But you make an excellent point. The three things are, in a sense, in some ways independent of each other. Again, the third thing, good, I propose to let humans of any worldview kind of help define what that is. Then we could simply logically ask, does Hinduism create people with compassion? The answer logically is no, it doesn't support that thing. But are there compassionate people within that thing? Yes, there are. So that's a great, that's a very smart question. Right. And again, just because Christianity tells us that we have an infinite worth doesn't mean it's true. All right. And so if it's true at all, it's because of the first question. Okay? Great. One more, and then we'll finish. Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to go back to my first question about evil. And so you said evil was created because of...
evil was created not by God.
Yeah, not by God. Because of our choice to go against what he said. But where would you, because Satan or Lucifer, he...
The word Lucifer is not in the Bible, by the way, Satan.
Satan, yeah. As an angel chose to go against God, right? So where would, if that happened before?
Okay,
birth?
Yeah, good. So that you bring up another point. What basically, when I made a statement earlier that was a simplification, I did it on purpose because if I explained everything, we should never get through our talk. I sort of implied the only source of evil is humans. By the way, although Genesis 1 through 3 makes it explicit and clear where evil results from in relationship to human beings. But the Bible does not explicitly say even who angels are. And the Bible, the idea that Satan is a fallen angel is, I would say, somewhat strongly implied by the Bible, but it's not stated in the Bible. But I do know this. God said everything he created was good. Now, did angels pre-exist humans? The Bible doesn't answer questions like this, so we have to speculate. But, yeah, even in the scene in Genesis where it says we, some people have proposed, that's the court of God with angelic beings there, even at the beginning there. All right, so if I understand the Christian worldview, everything God created is good. Satan is not good. So I just have to assume that angels also have free will. It's the only rational way to be consistent. Now, of course, you could say, well, it's because Christianity is not consistent. People have to make their own choice on that. So that's what I've always assumed, that demons, if you will, are beings, in the sense that have chosen to rebel against God. Again, I don't have a verse in the Bible that says that, just so you know. I'm just warning. The things I said about humans, there's lots of verses about that. What I just said about angels is implied, or it's the only reasonable conclusion, okay? All right, it's like 20 of 9, so I think we should call it quits. Thanks for coming, everybody. If you came in late, we have an event tomorrow night. 7 o'clock here, Minute to Win It. It's totally silly fun, all right? Totally silly fun. We probably have water. Maybe if we can't have snacks, can we? Just come here. We'll just have a lot of fun at 7 o'clock. Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, some of us are going to be helping out Catholic Family Services downtown Merced. You can find it on your own. We have Worship Sunday at 11. We're a non-denominational club. Feel free to just go to your church. That's fine. But if you want to worship with the one that I happen to be the preacher of, you're invited. Corner of Buena Vista and M, 11 o'clock Sunday. Thanks for coming. I have a few books for sale, cash or Venmo, if you're interested. All right.
What's that new book?
You might have guessed the title. Hey.
Where was the worship you said you
had? Yeah. Let me see.
guy used to go to like the car play with the guy who was graduated. I can like write it down.